I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Barbershop Guys on how the Obama cabinet is shaping up and what happened with Prop 8. Are black folks homophobic? That's in just a few minutes. But first, today we talk to a man who many believe changed the image of black men in film, for better or worse. Melvin Van Peebles' breakout hit, Sweet Sweetback's badass song, bucked the Hollywood status quo when it was released in 1971. Van Peebles wrote, directed, produced, scored, and starred in the film. And despite an X rating for adult content, many amateurs in the cast and crew, and a controversial protagonist, the film not only attracted huge audiences, but remains one of the most profitable independent films ever, and according to Variety, one of the top grossing films ever. Van Peebles has gone on to write, direct, compose, and act in many other projects, and he is being honored next month with a Gotham Award tribute, saluting him as the godfather of independent films. Melvin Van Peebles spends much time overseas, but he's in New York right now, and he stopped by our New York bureau. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
I'm having a great time.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. But before we get into the meat of your career, I just wanted to ask you if you follow the presidential campaign and where you were and what you were doing when you learned that Barack Obama would be the next president of the U.S., and I wondered if you ever thought you'd see this in your lifetime.
Okay, well, there are about 12 questions in there, and I don't mind, because what happened was Mario, my son, my oldest son, and I were calling all around the United States for Obama, talking on the telephones with the radio stations. And frankly, if somebody had told me this was going to happen, not that it shouldn't happen, it just should happen, but it could happen, I said, what are you smoking? Come on. I mean, you know, it's beyond belief. You see, would I ever see it in my lifetime? That's a loaded question, which I have to explain, because I have no intention of dying. And so I expect for my lifetime, but not so early in my lifetime did I ever expect it. And the night I was at a party on Central Park West with some other friends of mine who had been very pro-Obama. And even after he had won, I just couldn't register the thing, even though all the indications was that he was going to win. And I came out of the apartment, I'm walking down, I see a cab, and I hail the cab, and the guy picks me up. He was from Bangladesh, and he wouldn't take money when I got home. He says, no, this is a happy day. But at that point, when a cab driver refuses to take the money, that sort of kicked in. I said, okay, maybe it's true. I'll go sleep on it. I know tomorrow morning it'll all have been a dream. I think it's terrific. Not only is it terrific, I think he's very, very capable. I have a lot of hope for him.
Tell the truth. Did you cry?
No, I don't cry.
Not a big crier.
Last time I cried, well, hey, it's been a long time.
Let's switch gears and talk about you and your career. I was reading that your experience with your first film was so bad that it made you determined to have control over the next film you did. Is that true? And what happened that made you realize you had to be the one?
Not true. It's not true. They were probably referring to Watermelon Man, which was not my first film. It was my second feature, and I'd made maybe 30 short films before that. I came to the States as the French delegate to the San Francisco Film Festival, and when that film did extremely well at the San Francisco Film Festival, I then had offers from Hollywood, but I felt that if Hollywood had me, they would have their Negro token, and then they wouldn't have to hire anybody else. And so the search was on for the great Black Hope.
Okay, so there was Watermelon Man, and then let's talk about Sweetback. One of the reasons that Sweetback was celebrated at the time, and frankly to this day, is that it presents a picture of a man who is not afraid, who confronts authorities, and who survives. I mean, many people were surprised that the protagonist survives.
Wait, I disagree.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear what you have to say.
Who's not afraid?
I wanted to play a
it
clip.
Has nothing to do with afraid or not. Mm-hmm. When somebody's on you, people often say, Mel, how did you know you could beat that guy up? I didn't know I could beat him up. I just knew I wasn't going to take it. That's a major difference. There's a major difference. It's afterwards that we say, this could have happened or that would have happened. No, you don't know. And if you do know, then there's nothing courageous about it. All I knew is I wasn't going to take it anymore. Period. I didn't know I was going to get away with it.
For those who don't remember, who haven't yet seen it, It's Sweetback is a man who's been taken in by the proprietor of a house of prostitution. He was raised there. He still works there. And then he gets arrested by the police under a ruse. The police then also pick up this young black activist, and they start to beat him. And Sweetback decides that he can't take anymore, and he then beats the officers into unconsciousness to defend this young kid. And then, of course, he has to go on the run. And I just want to play a short clip to set the table, and then we can talk about it. Here it is.
What are you doing here, Sweetback? They're looking for you.
I want you to cover for me. I'm going upstairs to the farm.
To the farm? You can't hide there. They know all about the farm. Not only yesterday, the unwed mothers, the girls I get you from upstairs. The man knows about everything.
Ain't it strange when we die? Our folks like to rejoice. But when it comes to the living,
that's it. The hype I'm laying down to them people inside, it ain't dangerous. I'm just selling them a little bit of happiness, you know, from the happy land. We all are gonna die. So all I want them to have is some peace.
I just wanted to mention that this is Sweetback, and he's talking to the preacher. Most of the lines are the preacher's lines. And I've always wanted to ask you this. Why does Sweetback have so few lines?
Well, there are a number of things. First, I thought it would be brilliant to have the other people put the lines in their head. And everybody has it in a little different way. In fact, he only had said six lines in the entire film. Also, when I'm directing, moving the camera, I didn't have to remember a lot. That helped a lot, too. Do you know what I mean?
I want to talk about that, a little bit more about that. But before I do, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're talking with film legend Melvin Van Peebles about his career, his latest award, his latest work, and his thoughts on America's first black president. One of the things that many people, including many African Americans, don't like about the film and have never liked about the film is its depiction of sexuality. Sweetback, a lot of these sex scenes, he uses sex to get things. He has very little affect when he's having sex. It's like these performances. And what's very disturbing to a lot of people is that you used your son Mario in one of the opening sequences. He's filmed, he's playing the younger you, okay, having been raised in this house of prostitution. He's filmed having sex with an adult woman. I think he was 14 at the time. And maybe people think, you know, what are you trying to say here?
Look, the business of the business is I got to go up against all these other films, all these other things. It's amusing. You got to use whatever weapon. Sweetback, that happened to be his weapon. Or why I chose that weapon for him is because it was cinematic. It made sense when you didn't have much of a crew, et cetera, et cetera.
Using what you had. But you know that the whole thing about the whole black buck, the oversexed black buck is a stereotype that's been
exactly
used against black people.
That's exactly right. You're wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. And I took every myth purposely and stood it on its head and said, yeah, so what? Yeah, so what? Yeah, so what?
But can I ask you, though, about using your son in that sex scene? A 14-year-old boy
being
photographed.
But he wasn't 14. He wasn't even 12, I don't think.
He wasn't even 12. Well, I thought he was 14. Well, having sex with an adult woman.
Business is business. What the heck? Doesn't seem to harm her. I've hurt him a bit.
Would he agree?
I wouldn't ask him. Hey, I'm the parent.
What about his other parent? What about his mother? Where was she during all this?
Hey, I didn't ask her. I'm not running a democracy here. I'm running a fascist state, do what I say. I felt that I was ready to make the sacrifice or do the things or anything else to do. I thought at the long run, this would someday, and it all came out right. But besides that, I had the chutzpah to think, okay, son, one day this will be able to open doors, not the sex scene. The idea that the film became a gross. Everybody grumbles, but they all admit the money. And it's when they admitted the money. Take Shaft, for example. Shaft was originally a white movie.
That's why it's an ethical question, though, to use a child to make money. That's why it's an ethical question. It's a different question for an adult.
No. There was nothing unethical about it. It's gonna happen. Hey, we're trying to survive. When I was a kid, from 10 years old, I worked every day for my dad. Never played basketball, never played tennis, never this. We worked so that we could eat. Okay? And it, I guess you could have called and said, well, that's not ethical. That's work, et cetera, et cetera. Nah, you got to do what you got to do.
Over the years, what has this film meant to you, and has that changed over time?
Independent films did not exist before. There were three or four little things, or they made the film go bloop, 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 with the dots and so forth. Nobody made money. I made a film that made money. That changed everything. You can't have it both ways. You say, well, what is this? You want to win or not. You can't say one, but I wanted to win this way. I wanted to win the battle, but you can't win a war with white gloves on, not clean white gloves on. You want to fight or you don't want to fight. Or you want to accept it, then accept it and shut up and go home. But then now I say, oh, Mr. Van Peebles, but this, but that, but the other, but this, but that. Hey, duh, look, I won. I proved it.
You're saying the film had to succeed.
Yeah.
Tell me about your latest film.
Well, it's a kid who leaves home. He has his urge to get out and to see the world with a zillion adventures a la Oliver Twist or Don Quixote or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
This award that you're getting, it's not the only one. It's one of many, but it's the, I guess by your peers, I would say, it's independent filmmakers acknowledging one of their own. Is this important to you? Do you care?
Oh, I'm very happy about any award. This makes it possible for the other people to come along and exist. That's what it's all about.
Now, I take your point. You told me earlier you are not ever going to die, but I did want to ask you, how do you want to be remembered?
After I won the festival there in San Francisco, I didn't have a job or anything. It wasn't as if I, when they gave me the office, I refused. I had something else to do. And I was living on the park bench in New York, and down in the village. And the first night, I'm sitting there wearing all the news that's fit to print, because newspaper makes a great insulation. So you get baggy clothes, you put your newspaper inside your clothes, you got a nice insulation. So I'm sitting there dozing off, and I hear this screaming or yelling. And I go around the corner to see what this yelling's about. And I didn't know it was just a park bench to me, but it turns out it was a park bench not far from the women's house of detention. And there I saw a line of people under this light, lined up politely, and each one would come and take a turn and yell up to their loved one in the house of detention. Now, the women couldn't yell back, but they could make a sign. Is that your light, sugar? Make me some kind of sign so I know it's you. I was so moved. I thought that was so interesting. That was one of the beginnings of when I went to Broadway, one of my Broadway shows, Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death. I don't know if this gives voice to the voiceless. Wow, that's good enough for me.
Melvin Van Peebles is an actor, director, screenwriter, playwright, composer. His latest film is called Confessions of an Ex-Doofus Itchy-Footed Mother. He was kind enough to join us from our studios in New York, where he is about to receive the annual Gotham Tribute Award. Melvin Van Peebles, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very, very much for having me.